This is Brandon Hoy, co-owner of Roberta's, and you're listening to HeritageRadioNetwork.org. Donate. It's for a good cause, man. Heritage Radio, super awesome dudes, Snacky Tunes, and that other show where dudes get drunk. I love Nicole Taylor, Hot Grease, Dave Arnold, Cooking Issues, Farm Report, Patrick Martins. Listen to the radio because it's better than the TV because it doesn't have pictures to distract you. Learn about food. Donate at HeritageRadioNetwork.org.
Broadcasting live from Bushwick, Brooklyn, you're listening to HeritageRadioNetwork.org.
Okay, everybody, it's time for a game. I'll sing my song and you do just what the song says. Here we go. Rub your tummy just like this. Rub it all day long. Rub your tummy, rub it hard. While we sing our song. Rub, 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 rub. Play and sing along.
Hello, everybody. Thank you for joining me in on another episode of Growing Good. This is Alessandra, your host. I'm very delighted with today's episode. I have an amazing guest with me, Susan Weed. Are you there, Susan?
Green blessings. I certainly am, Alessandra.
Thank you so much for joining us. Where are you calling in from?
I'm calling in from the Hudson River Valley in the Catskill Mountains of New York State.
So beautiful. And you've been there for some time.
I've lived on the farm where I live now, Laughing Rock Farm, since 1978. That's slightly over half my life.
It's so beautiful up there. I'm a new resident myself. I actually was turned on to your wisdom by my mommy group in New York City, though. And it's just such a pleasure to have you on. And before I pick your brain and let my audience listen to everything that you have to share with us, I just wanted to share that Susan is an herbal healer. And she has published many books, but her first book, which is one of my favorites, is called Wise Woman Herbal Healing for the Childbearing Year. This was such a seminal book for me, and I strongly recommend it. And reading up on you, I found out that you began studying herbal medicine during your pregnancy for your daughter, correct?
That's absolutely correct. I had been taking birth control pills. I'd been taking them for 5 months, going to the doctor and saying I thought I was pregnant, and they kept telling me I wasn't until it started kicking.
What an amazing story. I didn't know that. That's wonderful. And so then you started your quest with herbal medicine.
Well, of course, at that point, I didn't especially want to take any more drugs, and the newspapers were filled with pictures of thalidomide babies.
Oh, what? I don't know what that is. I've never heard of that.
Thalidomide was a drug that was given to pregnant women in the 60s when I was pregnant. And sometimes it was given because women were morning sick or because they had other various complaints. And sometimes it was just given to healthy women. And it caused their babies to be born without arms and without legs.
Oh, no. So you had that going on around you, and so you just decided that was not going to be the way for
drugs.
You.
No drugs!
Well, so, thanks to women like you, women like me now have healthy, drug-free herbal pregnancies. So I'm so excited to have you on. And I was looking, we just watch all your YouTube videos in my mommy group. We love them. I recently watched one where you were making dandelion honey, and we went and we picked out some. It was amazing. But I came across something really interesting that I'd love to know more about. It was a video called Roadside Forage, where you were just basically finding, weeds and plants, like, on a roadside. Could you tell me a little bit about that?
Well, if we think about it, there hasn't been lead in gasoline for decades now.
Mm-hmm.
We're not really worried about getting lead from exhaust. The problem with most exhaust is it has carbon monoxide, and carbon monoxide really interferes with human breathing. However, plants, when they start with carbon dioxide, have to cleave an oxygen off that so that they can get to carbon monoxide, because that's where they start photosynthesis. So along the roadside, the carbon monoxide actually acts as an ease and a help to the plants.
Wow. I would have never known that. And so what are some of the weeds that we can find roadside that you use on your daily recipes?
Well, daily, The mm-hmm. herbs that I use are nourishing herbal infusions. And I rotate through five of them. Stinging nettle, red clover, oat straw, comfrey leaf, and linden blossom. Now, linden is blossoming along about now through much of its area, and it is a roadside plant. As a matter of fact, it's often planted in cities and malls because it is so adaptable to roadsides.
Wow, that's amazing.
Linden blossom is the world's leading cold preventative and flu preventative remedy. And should you go ahead and get a cold or a flu, it's the world's leading cold and flu curative remedy.
And so you infuse these into oils or things that you can ingest, and you just self-medicate with them so you can just skip buying over-the-counter products sometimes.
Well, we are talking about the nourishing herbal infusions that I drink on a daily basis, and those are done with water. And as you so nicely mentioned, there are YouTubes of me making these nourishing herbal infusions basically. With linden, we take half an ounce of linden flowers, put them in a quart jar, fill the jar to the top with boiling water, put a tight lid on it, and let it steep for 4 to 10 hours. Then we strain that out and refrigerate the liquid and drink that throughout the day.
That's...
So I would do basically the same thing with nettle or red clover or oat straw or comfrey, with one exception, and that is with the other herbs, I'd use a full ounce of plant material. The linden's very fluffy, so I only use half an ounce. But with stinging nettle, which doesn't grow on roadsides, but you can often find it like in backyards in Brooklyn.
Great.
It likes moist, rich soils, riverbanks, around the edges of ponds, gardens. Those are good places to find nettle. And, of course, all of these herbs are available commercially. You don't have to harvest your own. You can just go out and buy them. And oat straw is, if you have any ability to sow anything at all, oat straw is really easy to grow. You basically just throw the seed down and stomp on it, and your oat grass grows, and you can harvest that, or you can buy it. Red clover is definitely a roadside plant. And many people see it growing along the roads. It's not really red. It's more pink or purpley colored. And the harvest season for red clover is at its peak in June and July. So we're getting to the end of our red clover season. Mm-hmm. But again, it's for sale. You can easily buy it. And one of the reasons that I drink red clover infusion is because it's the world's leading cancer preventative herb.
Oh, wow. Well, that's a good reason.
A really good reason. And then comfrey leaf.
And I watched a video of you. I love your videos because you always have so many beautiful babies and children around you while you're picking the flowers. And I think I watched a video of you making comfrey oil. Is that right?
It's possible.
you had a beautiful girl.
You can make oils with these plants.
And what are the benefits of comfrey?
What we're talking about right now is infusions.
Right.
Infusions are made with water, and they're drunk on a daily basis, because you ask about my daily use of herbs.
Right.
Like, if I make an oil of an herb, well, maybe I would use that, you know, once a month, or, you know, in 3 months. I would only use an oil when I had need for it.
Mm-hmm.
Infusions I am drinking on a daily basis. I might also make vinegars of the plants. And usually I'm using some herbal vinegar in my salad virtually on a daily basis. And I could also make tinctures of plants. And tinctures, again, like the oils, I would just use as needed when I had a particular need for that plant. But I do use a lot of plants in a water base, and that's what an infusion is. It's a water base, and that means it's safe for women who are pregnant. It's safe for women who are lactating. It's safe for very young children. It's safe for old people. And that's one of the reasons why I use so many herbs in water bases. I don't ever use dried herbs in capsules.
Right. And that is because...
they are the most expensive,
mm-hmm.
dangerous, and least effective way to use herbs.
Wow. And that's because, do they also just lose their potency from being just dried up and meshed up and shelf life and everything?
Suppose I took carrot and I dehydrated a carrot and powdered it up. How much carrot could I get into a capsule?
Probably not that much, I guess. So you'd have to eat like 100 capsules for one carrot.
Mm-hmm. It doesn't really matter whether it's lost its potency or not. It's not enough, is it?
Mm-hmm. I agree.
But it's just not one. We're using 1 ounce of herb in a quart of water and drinking that in a day. A bottle full of capsules is usually about half an ounce.
Oh, wow. That's really interesting to think about. Amazing.
But think how incredibly expensive that is.
Yeah.
And how dangerous it can be because you can't see the herb and you don't really know what's in there. And most of the side effects that we see from taking herbs come from taking herbs in capsules.
Yeah, I'm sure it can't be good on your digestive system as well, just eating all of that.
Of the side effects that people claim come from herbs, come from taking herbs in capsules, not from taking, from drinking infusions or from taking tinctures or from using oils externally or using vinegars on our salads.
Well, that's great. That's great news, everybody. So you want to start infusing your herbs and make them into your vinegar?
Not all herbs, please.
No, the ones, the top five that you have just shared with us.
Any herb that doesn't smell can be infused.
Oh, that's interesting. And what's the difference between herbs that like smell and herbs that don't smell? I'm so new to this.
That's wonderful. I'm so glad you're asking. Basically, what we can say is that there are four different kinds of poisons in plants. And one of them is volatile oils. The four kinds are volatile oils, alkaloids, resins, and glycosides. Volatile oils and resins are oily and sticky, and they gum up the liver and the kidneys. And that's why we make peppermint tea or chamomile tea, not an infusion. We use a small amount of herb, and we brew it for a short amount of time. When I was picking chamomile in Holland, a woman came up to me and said, "Oh, I see you're picking chamomile, and you don't look Dutch, so let me warn you that our wild chamomile is so strong that if you brew that for more than 2 minutes, you're going to wind up in the hospital."
Wow. I didn't know that. I grew up in a household big on chamomile tea, but always packaged, never made by ourselves.
Tea, not infusion.
Right.
A tea is fresh or dried herbs, small amount, brewed for a short time. And aromatic herbs are perfect for tea. But have you ever made a pot of chamomile tea and let it sit overnight?
No, I didn't. But once I bought an echinacea plant and I dried it, and I would make tea. I would steam it in water, and then I would let my son drink that water when I was trying to boost up his immune system during winter. What do you think about that?
I think it's a waste of your time, effort, and money. An insult to the plant.
Oh, really? Oh, I thought I was being so crafty.
Which you should have planted in the ground and enjoyed for many, many years.
Well, this is because I was living in the city in an apartment, so I would have a little garden on our windowsill. It was all I could do.
You could grow it on your windowsill. That's fine.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's what I did. I had some echinacea. Yeah,
if
but I don't
you,
think
if
it did anything.
Somebody told you that they boiled up ginseng leaves. What would you say?
I don't know. Nobody's ever said that to me. What would
say
you say?
It's the root of the ginseng that's usable, not the leaves.
Right. It's the root. That's right. We made applesauce once, and we put ginger root in it to add a little flavor.
Right. Well, we're talking about ginseng, which is different than ginger.
Oh, okay. I don't think I've ever seen a ginseng root.
But don't use ginger leaves, and just so you don't use echinacea leaves, it's the root.
Oh, that's so interesting. And so...
There are four things we need to know anytime we want to work with a plant.
Okay.
To know what part of the plant are we working with. People say, "Oh, echinacea does this," but you need to know it's the root,
mm-hmm.
and the leaves and the flowers don't do very much.
I didn't know that.
So, what part of the plant are we talking about? Then we need to know, when is it harvested? Echinacea root is useless unless it's at least 3 years old.
Oh, I didn't know that.
So that's why I said it was an insult to the plant.
Right, because I would just prematurely pick it.
Right, when it had no real usefulness.
Oh, that's so interesting.
And so the third thing we need to know is, how are we going to prepare it?
Yes.
Echinacea, although it can be boiled up in water, is not ideally prepared that way. Ideally, we take the roots that are at least 3 years old, dig them in the late fall or early winter, never the summer or the spring, and make a tincture from them.
That's wonderful. I'm learning so much. So the top three rules is, you know your root, know the parts of your plants, know when they harvest, and know when is the right time to use the plant.
What part are we picking? When are we picking it? How are we preparing it? And then the most important one, what's the dose?
Well, that's great. That gives us so much to think about. We're going to take a little break. I'm so excited. I'm a little nervous because I just, you know, think you're so wonderful, Susan. Thank you for being with us. We'll take a little commercial break and we'll be right back with Susan Weed on Growing Good. Hi, you're back with Growing Good, and I have Susan Weed online. In the first segment, Susan was letting us know some, priority learning useful topics about weeds and her herbal healing. I was really interested in also talking about, there's so much to talk with you about, but since we only have 30 minutes, of, your collective, the Wise Woman, and some of the events that you're having up there, and just, you know, what are your days like on a general day in your life?
My day usually starts with milking my dairy goats. So I go out to the barn, and I milk Isis, and then I milk Astarte, and then I milk Caradwyn, and then I milk Selene, and then I milk Arishkigal. And meanwhile, Shakti is in her stall. She's last year's kid. She's our yearling. And Isis's kids, Nephthys and Osiris, are playing around with Astarte's kid, Estrella.
Wow.
After I've done that, I come in the house and strain the milk. Sometimes I make yogurt then, and sometimes I make cheese then. I also ferment part of that milk with a culture that we got from Tibet. After that is done, it's time for Talking Stick. There's Talking Stick every morning at 10 o'clock here at Laughing Rock Farm. And during the spring, summer, and fall, there's usually live-in apprentices here with us for Talking Stick, as well as, of course, on weekends, people could be here for work exchange weekends, work learn days, or workshop weekends. If it's kind of an ordinary day, then after Talking Stick, we'll go out with the goats. There's no pasture, no fenced pasture for the goats. We herd the goats. And so if, for instance, there's an apprentice staying with me, then the apprentice and I and the goats will go out, and there'll be a class, usually a couple of hours class. And we'll be out and about with the herbs. Or perhaps, like the other day, I got someone who's staying here, who's not apprenticing with me, to watch the goats while we went on a field trip.
Mm-hmm.
That just as you said, we went to a roadside place with the apprentices and my daughter and my granddaughter and made some more YouTube videos about the many plants we found there.
I love your YouTube videos. They're so amazing. Everybody that's listening in, you can just Google Susan Weed and you know, your mind will be blown. And you're just such an amazing spirit to watch. Some of my friends right now actually currently are making a mosquito bomb, I think, that they got from one of your videos. Do you know what I'm talking about? I think they said it was made from oak, like a mosquito bite remedy for kids.
I really am not sure at all what you're talking about, but I will be happy to talk about what I use as an inhalant, and that is tincture of yarrow.
Okay, because that's a big right now. The kids are getting eaten up alive. Mm-hmm.
So I tincture the fresh flowering tops of yarrow in 100-proof vodka. I let it sit for 6 weeks, and then I put that into a spray bottle, and I spray it undiluted on to my skin sparingly. I don't have to, like, I think the word you used was bomb. Well, I don't think you would ever find the word bomb in my word.
I don't know. I don't know if I use that word bomb, but keep going.
Yeah, I thought you said something like a mosquito bomb.
Bomb, B-A-L-M.
Oh, bomb.
Yes.
Oh, well, that's then for after they've been bitten.
Yes, because some of
we want to repel them.
Yes, right.
Repel them.
I know.
We spray arrow on and the bugs don't bite us.
I know. Sometimes, you know, though, we've been going out to the Rockaway Beach here, and then it gets dusk, and maybe the kids got, you know, went swimming, and then right when the sun's coming down, the babies get bit.
And I'm saying that I take yarrow spray with me.
Wonderful.
Yarrow tincture in a spray bottle so that I can reapply it after I've been swimming. And it keeps the mosquitoes away from us. If you do want a balm for after mosquitoes bite, I recommend plantain.
Oh, that's what it was, plantain. That's exactly what my girlfriends are doing right now as we speak.
And so they're making plantain oil.
Mm-hmm. That's it. That's what they were doing, and they said, "Oh, please mention it to Susan." That's what we've been spending our day doing. They went to Long Island and they got some plantains, and that's what exactly right. The plantain bomb.
Okay, but they didn't get plantains. They harvested plantain leaves. It's not
right.
Banana.
Okay, so that's
because people, when they say plantains, think it's bananas.
Right.
And we're talking about a leafy plant that grows right on the ground, and it has either broad leaves or narrow leaves, and both can be used. The leaves harvested with respect for the plant, so no more than 20 to 30% of the leaves of any one plant. That usually amounts to one or two leaves per plant.
Mm-hmm.
I can hardly imagine how they could spend all day long doing this. It takes 5 minutes.
Oh, probably just because they're having fun and hiking around, and they have their babies along with them.
Really concerned that they're devastating the environment out there if they're spending all day long harvesting plants.
Oh, no. It was just part of their day and their hike, and, you know, they're also having fun with the children and, you know, just being out in the sun.
Wonderful.
But so that's another great tip, you know, for new moms, because I know sometimes we can overreact, you know, when our children get bitten, you know. So that's something really great. And then I was looking on your amazing website, which everybody can go to. It's wisewoman.com. There's so much information there about events that Susan and her collective put together that go on all summer and all year long. The schedule is just infinite. You can also buy her books online there and also on Amazon. And you also do a lot of DVDs, correct?
Yes. My books, as you said, my first book, which is now in its, I think, 31st printing, is Wise Woman Herbal for the Childbearing Year. And it covers the time before pregnancy, the time of pregnancy, and then the care of the newborn right after pregnancy. And then my second book was the Big Green Herbal for Everybody called Healing Wise. And I talk about the three traditions of healing and seven of my favorite herbs. And then I did a book called Menopausal Years, and that's been replaced with New Menopausal Years, The Wise Woman Way. And then Breast Cancer ! Breast Health ! The Wise Woman Way. And then my most recent book just out, Down There, Sexual and Reproductive Health, The Wise Woman Way.
That's so amazing. That must be so rewarding to write and to publish and to share with so many people. And I also saw that on your website, you also, your Apprentices Collectives, lots of people, there's like book reviews of other books that you kind of put the Susan Weed stamp on. One of them that seemed really nice was called Nature's Children. It's a classic book on natural childbearing. It also included, I found it on your website. Do you recall that book?
Yes, it's a book by Julia DeBerkeley Levy, and what you're actually talking about is my publishing company.
Oh, okay. Must have just connected
publishing
to your
company
website.
Publishes Julia DeBerkeley Levy books, including Nature's Children, Common Herbs for Natural Health, Summer in Galilee, Gypsy in New York, Spanish Mountain Life, and Traveler's Joy.
That's so wonderful. So all year long, you are up there running your collective, and you have apprentices stay with you most of the year. Is that right?
apprentices stay with me spring, summer, and fall, and I take the winter for my writing projects and alone time. My goats are still here, but the apprentices are not. And in addition, of course, I have correspondence courses. I also have an online university, and there are over 30 teachers at the online university. And I offer courses at the online university, such as herbal first aid, where you can learn how to use plantain, yarrow, and a lot more herbs for first aid for you and your children.
Well, also, that's interesting. What's your favorite? Is there something common that you could share with us that that we could that's handy for first aid, like for scratches or bruises?
Plantain.
The plantain, that's the big one. Great.
Plantain is the band-aid plant. It's the boo-boo weed. It's the child's first. It grows in playgrounds. It grows in sidewalks. It's very easy to teach children to recognize plantain, even as young as two or three, and to make a spit poultice with it, whereas it's simply chewed up and spit on the sting, the scratch, the whatever. It stops bleeding. It stops itching. It stops pain, and it aids healing.
That's amazing. And so does it have to be fresh, or is it okay if it's dried?
It's best if it's fresh, and you will find it fresh every day of the year, unless
Great.
The snow is too deep.
That's wonderful. That's wonderful to know. I love that. Another topic that I was going to ask you about was an article that I also think I found on your site. I don't know if it was your publishing company, but it was about children's ear infections and how common they are. And I was wondering if you had a remedy that you would suggest for a child that has, you know, a lot of ear infections, because, you know, that's one of the biggest reasons why children go to pediatricians and are prescribed antibiotics. And I was just wondering if there was an herbal healing that you could recommend for an ear infection or to prevent ear infections.
The first thing that we need to know is that inner ear infections are often caused by allowing the child to go to sleep with a bottle.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Or to go to sleep while nursing.
Oh, I did not know that. No wonder there's such an epidemic of ear infections, because, you know, putting your child to sleep nursing is very common.
Correct. So the eustachian tube in the infant is not angled like the adults, and it's actually pretty easy to get milk or fruit juice there, and then for that to actually get into the ear and cause a bacterial infection. So, I'm not suggesting that there's an easy solution to that, but you do need to know that that is often a cause. Mm-hmm. One of the classic herbal remedies is the infused oil of mullein flowers. Mullein is that big, tall roadside weed. We're back to the roadside weeds. Sometimes called flannel leaf. It has big kind of felty leaves, and it grows very, very tall, and it has bright yellow flowers on it. And if you pick those flowers and drop them into a jar of oil and let them sit in that oil for about 6 weeks, then take a little bit of that oil in a dropper and drop it right into the ear and rub it into that ear, that decreases the sensation of pain and is also an antibacterial and can help kill the infection. Now, back to the echinacea that you were talking about. The effective way to use echinacea is to buy or prepare for yourself a tincture of echinacea root and to take one drop for every 2 pounds of body weight as often as every 30 minutes in the case of an ear infection. So if we have a 30-pound child, we would use 15 drops of echinacea tincture every half hour.
That's great. That's good to know. But however, so you mean 15 whole drops every 30 minutes or spread out in a day?
15 drops every 30 minutes.
Oh, wow.
So you can see that boiling the whole plant really would not have been effective. And I think also very important to know, one does not boost the immune system.
Right.
It does not boost the immune system. Echinacea does one thing very well, and that is it nourishes the body's ability to make white blood cells, and the white blood cells kill bacteria.
Okay, well, that's a great explanation. Well, I'm so glad that I learned so much, because I was doing that with echinacea, and now I will look into buying tinctures, and I'm sure that that's something a lot of us can do online. I'm sure you can buy tinctures and things like this online, right?
You can also find YouTube of me making echinacea tincture from dried root and a quart That's 30 ounces because you won't be, a quart is 32 ounces, but you won't get all of it back. You get about 30 ounces of echinacea tincture, and it will cost you approximately $1.50 an ounce. Whereas if you go out to buy it, you're going to be paying about 15 an ounce.
Oh, that's great.
If there is a YouTube of me making echinacea tincture so that you can follow along. It's also, of course, in several of my online courses, as well as my correspondence courses, and in my books as well. Gosh, I think we must have almost come to the end of our time.
We have, and I just want to thank you so much, and I look forward to reading more of your books. I'm only at the first one, but I, you know, will, as I grow and my life goes on, I will read all of them. And I also look forward to maybe coming. Are any of your events this summer open to the public?
All of the events that I mentioned are open to the public. The work exchange begins, the work learn days, and the workshops.
That's wonderful. And everybody, you can find out about all of this again at wisewoman.com. Thank you so much, Susan, and thank you to everybody that works with you for the correspondence and making today's show happen.
SusanWeed.com.
SusanWeed.com. She knows her weeds. Love and light to you, Susan.
Green blessings, everybody. Herbal medicine is people.
Bye-bye.
Just what the song says. Here we go. Rub your tummy just like this. Rub it all day long. Rub your tummy, rub it hard, while we sing our song. Rub, 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 rub. Play and sing along. You got that rubbing part?
Thanks for listening to this program on HeritageRadioNetwork.org. You can find all of our archived programs on our website or as podcasts in the iTunes store by searching Heritage Radio Network. You can like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at Heritage_Radio. You can email us questions at any time at info@HeritageRadioNetwork.org. Heritage Radio Network is a nonprofit organization. To donate and become a member, visit our website today. Thanks for listening.
Look what happens. You do like this. Rub your tummy, pat your head.